Welcome to the SLP Talk Show, real talk with Carrie about stuff that really matters.
Hey, it's Carrie, your fast-talking, speech therapy-loving host. While you are driving, cleaning, exercising, or whatever it is you do while listening to podcasts, I'm going to be chatting about pediatric speech therapy stuff. But I don't want our time together to feel like work or be boring. You already work enough, and you already have enough boring stuff to do in your life. So let's get going and have some fun. Hello, welcome to episode 53 of the SLP Talk Show. I am Carrie, and I am here with Jim.
Hello, hello.
Jim is my husband, my business partner, and he is what I like to call an honorary speech-language pathologist.
Yes.
Because you've been living with me for...
Yes.
31 years.
31 years.
31 years. That's a long time to live with someone, isn't it? So before we jump into our discussion, and we do have quite a fascinating discussion planned for today, let's do a quick game of Chump or Champ.
Okay.
Now, I'm going to be honest with you, Jim. I actually came up with four questions that are related to our topic today, because we're going to be talking about autism. And so today's April 1st. So you may not get any of these right, and I don't want you to feel bad, okay?
Okay.
So these are not our typical trivia questions.
Okay.
Okay, so I'll even help you, okay?
You will?
I will.
Can I have, like...
Clues.
Just like...
I'll give you clues.
Okay.
Okay, here we go. First question. What is the current autism prevalence in the United States? So every 2 years, the CDC comes out with a prevalence. So it used to be like 1 in 68 children is diagnosed as autistic. Do you know what the current autism prevalence is?
1 in 42.
You're pretty close. It's 1 in 36 here in the United States. So that was a good guess. Yep.
Okay.
So every
do I get like a range?
You just get a pat on the back. Yeah. Oh, okay. I should have given you a range. Yeah. So we'll say I should have said plus or minus 5 years, which that would have probably done it.
Okay.
We'll just call you a champ.
All right.
Okay. How's
all
that?
All right. Got that one.
Just so you guys know, every 2 years in even years, the CDC comes out with their new autism prevalence numbers here in the United States. So we're awaiting the new prevalence numbers. And we anticipate they will be higher. And maybe we'll do an episode sometime on why autism prevalence continues to grow.
Okay.
For now, it is 1 in 36 children in the United States.
1 in 36.
Is diagnosed as autistic. All right. Second question. What year was the first child formally diagnosed with autism? And I'm going to give you a hint, okay? It was before 1950.
Okay. I'm going to say 1941.
You are so close. 1943.
Okay.
Donald Triplett.
Do I get 2 years?
Yes, you get that. You're a champ.
Okay.
You're a champ. Yeah.
Awesome.
Donald Triplett was the first child formally diagnosed, and he was diagnosed by Leo Kanner, and it was known as Case 1.
Case 1.
Yeah. Now, let's be clear. That doesn't mean autism didn't exist before 1943. It just meant it didn't have a name, a formal a name until then. Okay. Autism is a diagnosis in the DSM-5. Mm-hmm. Do you have any idea what the DSM stands for?
I know.
This is hard. The first word is diagnostic.
Diagnostic symptom matrix.
That is really good. Diagnostic and statistical manual.
Okay.
Yeah. So anyways, we're on the fifth edition, which was released in 2013. Last question. Who can diagnose autism?
SLPs? No. Not SLPs. Like a developmental pediatrician.
Yeah, that's a good, yeah, developmental pediatrician, psychologist, psychiatrist, pediatric neurologist. The best way to get an autism diagnosis is from a team of professionals that would include SLPs and occupational therapists.
Right.
Like, according to ASHA, the American Speech and Hearing, Language and Hearing Association, SLPs can actually diagnose autism
if they
have training in doing it and have a tool to by which to do it. But
I
would say most SLPs do not necessarily feel comfortable doing it all by themselves, but we certainly can participate on a team. So anyways, that was not our traditional, really fun trivia. So I apologize.
I don't feel so good about
it. You don't feel
that.
So good about it?
No.
It's okay.
Mm-hmm.
But you're always a champ in my heart.
Oh,
okay. All right.
You're
so
sweet.
It is April 1st, and it is
my sister's
autism.
Birthday
it's your sister's birthday.
Yeah.
I mean, it's kind of cool. Tomorrow, April 2nd, is the 12-year anniversary of me being diagnosed with breast cancer.
Yeah.
So it's something to celebrate.
Yeah.
So, but anyways, April is historically known as Autism Awareness Month. And tomorrow, April 2nd, this is why I'll never forget the day I was diagnosed with breast cancer, because I actually got my diagnosis on World Autism Awareness Day, which falls every year on April 2nd. So what I want you guys to know about us, in case you're a new listener, is that Jim and I are parents to an autistic child.
Right.
Aaron is 19 years old.
Mm-hmm.
He lives with us. He's currently attending a program to help build job skills because he graduated from high school last May.
He lives with us. Awesome.
And if you ask Aaron, he will say that he wants to always live with us. And we don't know, you know, if that's true or not. But right now, that's what he'll tell you.
Makes you feel good.
It does. He very much likes hanging out with us.
He likes being around us.
He does. He genuinely does. I'd say most 19-year-olds are ready to get the heck out.
Yeah.
You know?
I know I was.
Out. Yeah.
So I was ready to be on my own.
Yeah. So, like I mentioned, April is Autism Awareness Month. April 2nd, World Autism Awareness Day. And you'll find that many people, especially neurodiversity-affirming professionals, will actually refer to it as Autism Acceptance Month because we feel like maybe, autism awareness isn't enough. And so you'll hear some people even say, April is Autism Awareness and Acceptance Month. And sometimes they'll just combine those words together. So I guess what I want to talk about is, does it matter? Do our words matter? And what do you think I'm going to say?
I think yes.
Yes, yes, absolutely. Our words matter. If you have ever taken one of my professional development courses, Jim has had to listen to every one of my professional development courses more than once. But you certainly know that. Oh, you are so sweet. Boy, we're just buttering each other
up.
I know, right? You guys, if you've taken one of my courses, you know that I always say our words matter. They certainly matter.
They do.
So. Let's talk about the difference between autism awareness and autism acceptance.
Okay.
I will be honest with you that until I did my research on this, I really truly thought that autism awareness was just something that came first.
Right.
And that as you kind of became aware of it, you started moving into autism acceptance. But I'm going to tell you, there's a pretty significant difference. So we're going to dig into this. Okay.
Awesome.
Awareness is easy. Awareness is kind of surface level, whereas acceptance takes work and time and self-examination and personal reflection and a willingness to change. And one thing we know with great certainty is that change is...
It's difficult. It's hard.
It's very hard. Change is hard. Okay. Mm-hmm. So I want to start with autism awareness. Autism awareness highlights the differences, the deficits, the challenges of being autistic.
Okay.
Oh no, this child was just diagnosed with autism, you know, and it's kind of that idea of how tragic. Let's think back to when Aaron, our son, was diagnosed back in 2007.
Right.
We very much felt as though it were a tragedy, right? It seemed overwhelming and we didn't even tell our family. I think back to that, it was years before we actually told anybody that Aaron was autistic because autism has always historically had a stigma associated with it. Okay.
Absolutely.
So, you know, you say autism, the immediate feeling is how tragic. And immediately what people want to do is move into, well, what treatments are available to try to make this autistic child behave in more acceptable, more neurotypical ways.
Right.
You know, we had family members say things like, well, I think he'll probably grow out of it.
Yep.
Or you'll hear, you know, like some random uncle or some random person at a restaurant say, well, if that was my kid.
Right.
Meaning you're not a good parent. You discipline them the right way, right? If he were my kid, I'd get him to eat, you know, things like that.
Yeah.
Okay. So when we talk about autism awareness, we really are under this mindset that autism creates problems and we need professionals to help us find solutions. So the onus of responsibility for changing is placed on the autistic child. So, hey, it's April and the world wants society to know that autism exists, that more and more people are being diagnosed as autistic, and that changing or fixing autistic individuals is the goal.
Okay.
So intensive therapies are typically recommended. Let's think back to 2008. No. Aaron was 8. So he was born in 2004. So it would have been around 2000. 11, maybe it was right before I was diagnosed with breast cancer, that we took him for formal testing, right? We he had gotten a provisional diagnosis of autism from his pediatrician, and they were like, oh, you need to go do this formal testing. Right. It was hours and hours of formal testing. And you remember after their conclusion, oh, we concur, he is autistic. Here, we want him to do 40 hours a week of intensive behavior therapy. Yep. And remember, they recommended all of this intensive therapy. Mm-hmm. So that is typically what happens. When we kind of have this autism awareness as the highlight, the goal is to fix the autistic child so that this autistic child starts to act in more typical ways and looks normal to other people. Right?
Right.
Because isn't that the goal? I mean, is we want, autism is a condition that we need to fix or reverse. Right. So anything that is problematic or concerning with the child, go ahead and blame autism for that. Oh, well, that's, you know, so everything kind of gets like it's, you know, kids can have struggles that aren't directly because of autism.
Sure.
But when a child is autistic, everyone hates the autism.
Right.
And you'll hear under like this idea of autism awareness that love the child, hate the autism. And I'm like, no, Aaron is autistic. You can't hate autism.
Right.
Right. So we really have to keep digging. So under this kind of mindset, autism is considered something bad, something negative, which makes it something scary for parents.
Right.
Because if your child is diagnosed with something that is bad or negative, then as a parent, I'm like, well, crap. So now I have to try to fix my child, right? That's kind of this mindset. So when our society focuses on autism awareness, we inadvertently promote ableism. And you've heard me talk a lot recently about ableism. We have a lot of isms that we have to deal with. We're still dealing with racism.
Right.
And classism and sexism and ageism. I mean, there's so, I mean, there's so many isms.
Can I add one?
Yeah.
How about justism?
Ooh, what is that?
Well, I just kind of,
is this a word?
I don't know. It's
up?
Just like, because people always say, why don't you just?
Oh, why don't you just? I love it.
And so, I mean, I just, you don't, they don't understand.
Right. There isn't anything we can just do.
Right. Yeah. And it, that's going to fix.
Right. Right. Well, that really fits into
something
what,
that doesn't need to be fixed.
Right. That's what ableism is. Ableism is discrimination against disabled people because of the assumption that non-disabled people are superior. So we have to unpack that for a minute, guys. What we're basically saying, and I mean, this is really what I've always, how I've been trained as a professional, is that autistic children are defective versions of neurotypical children. And so they need therapy in order to for us to change their way of being human. And so if they're flapping or they're spinning or any other stim that they're doing, for example, is bothering us, then because we're superior, because we're not autistic, because we're superior, then we need to change the autistic child.
Right.
That's a lot to unpack there, right?
Yeah.
So I never thought about it until I started learning about ableism. So what we, when we view this autism in this negative light, what we clearly believe then is that non-autistic kids, and they are technically called allistic kids, allistic, maybe a new vocabulary, but I'll just say non-autistic because most people don't know that that vocabulary, but non-autistic kids are superior to autistic kids. And we have felt that our whole life. We have felt that people thought that Aaron was less than. Because of his diagnosis.
Okay? Yeah, I can remember specifically a person who will remain nameless said, well, if you see him and he's, you know, doing something that's a little bit weird.
Weird.
You know, don't be alarmed or, you know, and I can, and he went on and he doubled down and he said, you know, and if you talk to him, just don't get your hopes up. And I was mortified.
Yeah. Yeah. We've
and this was a this is a person of authority.
Yeah. Yeah.
So
yeah, I agree. We've had to deal with some really interesting comments. So in April, we want everyone to be aware that autism exists. This is under the autism awareness kind of mindset. So early referrals can be made so we can intervene and fix their way of being human. So what I want to say, both as a parent of an autistic child and as a professional who supports autistic children and their families, and as an ally to the autistic community, what I want to say is that autism awareness isn't enough. And to be honest with you, I'm not even sure it's a starting point. What I often hear people say is awareness comes before acceptance. But I really want to, I spent a lot of time thinking about this, Jim, as I prepared for this. If teachers, parents, doctors, law enforcement officials, whoever, I don't care who we're talking about in right. our society, if they have autism awareness and only know about the challenges
mm-hmm.
that are associated with being autistic, they will likely have a negative view of autism, and they will think that autism is something that can be fixed or cured or remediated. So autism awareness is why we view autism as a negative thing.
Negative.
Okay.
Yeah, because if that's your surface level, as
yep.
you put it,
yep.
Understanding, then you basically understand just the challenges.
Just enough.
So you associate that person with the challenges
right.
that it's
and the
it's
deficits
all negative.
And yeah. the problem behaviors right. and right. the fact that they don't follow directions mm-hmm. and they don't communicate and they right. don't respond to their name being called and they don't make eye contact.
A lot of don'ts in there.
Yeah, right. See, that's deficit driven. Okay. Right. So that is the big problem. Is autism awareness encourages us to only know just enough about autism to be dangerous.
Mm-hmm.
And it is very concerning. Okay. We don't even like to say the word autism. When autism awareness is kind of driving the bus, if you will, we don't even like to say the word autism. As a professional, I think back years ago when I would say, right. oh, I'd wake yeah. up and say, Jim, I really think I have to talk to this family about the A word.
Yep.
And I would literally call it the A word because saying autism brought about so much. There was such a stigma associated with it. And it was all negative feelings.
The reactions that you would get from parents.
Oh, and we still get those reactions.
Oh, my goodness.
And this is why autism awareness isn't enough. Okay?
Right.
Autism awareness creates panic and worry
mm-hmm.
and a sense of fear in the general public. The puzzle piece logo contributes to this stigma. For years, decades, the puzzle piece has been, you know, and you and I used to have puzzle piece t-shirts and puzzle
yeah,
piece
and I think,
bumper stickers.
You know, the panic and all that. I mean, it's just like the, when we, you know, when it was said, it was not said like, it was like they were given as they were breaking the news.
Breaking the news. Yep. I'm so sorry to have to tell you this. Right.
Yeah.
So autism is considered this, for decades, it's been considered this puzzling condition, right? Autistic people are not yet complete or whole, that there's a missing piece.
Like, can I ask you a question?
Yes.
Can you, thinking back
mm-hmm.
to when you were diagnosed with breast cancer,
uh-huh.
what, if there are any,
mm-hmm.
similarities was there to when we were informed about Aaron's autism?
Oh, yeah, because it seems like a tragic diagnosis. It seems like there's no hope. It was very scary. Yeah. Absolutely.
So similar types of
and
feelings.
That's what's frightening, though, you guys, is you got to think about this. I was diagnosed with cancer that could literally take my life. Autism doesn't kill a child.
No.
Okay? I mean, being
but that's
autistic,
the way it was
but that's
presented.
How it's viewed. It was presented yeah. as this tragic
it's
diagnosis.
Tragic.
Tragedy is the word that I think of all the time. It felt tragic to me, just like when I got my breast cancer diagnosis. So yeah, but see, remember, Aaron was diagnosed in 07, mm-hmm. 2007, back when they were still, all the money they were raising was to find a cure.
Right.
Think about that for a minute.
Yep.
To find a cure. I mean, we now, gosh, I mean, you know, this is why I do so many trainings on this topic and why, you know, I'm so passionate about this. We now know that autism always has been and autism always will be. It's a different way of being human. And, you know, we know that if Albert Einstein were alive today, he would meet the criteria
yep.
for being autistic.
Yep.
So we have to stop assuming that being autistic is somehow bad or negative. Are there certain traits that maybe are do pose challenges?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, yeah, absolutely. But I mean, you know, I always think about this. We have three children. Two are neurotypical.
Right.
And one is neurodivergent. You know, Aaron is autistic. But
right.
we have two neurotypical daughters as well. But I mean, I think everybody assumes that, oh, gee, raising Aaron has been so difficult. Well, raising our daughters hasn't been the easiest thing either. I mean,
no,
they have their own
there's
challenges
with
yeah.
neurotypical children.
Exactly. They're just different types
you know,
of challenges.
And I think about it. We talked about this morning. Just how blessed we are to have him.
Yeah,
you
how
know,
he's changed our life.
How he's changed
so
our
ways.
Life.
And we do. And Jim and I want to do an episode where we talk about our journey and our feelings and all of
right,
that because
yeah.
It has been a journey.
It's like the I don't know if you've seen those adoption commercials
oh,
on
uh-huh.
TV where the adoptive parents are talking and they say, well, they changed my life.
Yeah, yeah.
And I feel like you know, we were happy with our two children.
Yeah, we had two daughters.
And then Aaron came along and he completely changed our life. And I can't imagine life without him.
I can't even imagine where we'd be today. Yeah. No. He's changed everything about our trajectory.
It's kind of like the adoption commercials that those people that it enriched and fulfilled their lives
in ways that they never know.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So we will. I think that might be our next episode, is we really need to just talk about our journey and the struggles and where we are now, 19 years, you know, he's 19 years old now, and what we would go back and say to ourselves 15 years ago, you know,
what I would say. No,
yeah.
Don't
yeah.
worry
what kind
about
of
that.
Hope we would give. Yeah. I think we'll do that as our next episode. So what I want to do now is move into autism acceptance. Okay. We talked about autism awareness, and autism acceptance comes from a totally different mindset. It does not, I repeat, it does not stem from autism awareness. Remember, autism awareness highlights the negative, the deficits, what they can't do, how tragic it is. So please don't say that autism acceptance stems from or comes from autism awareness, because that's what I always thought, right? I always thought it was just a natural progression. What in fact I want you to think about is autism acceptance comes from a totally different mindset. In fact, I would argue that it opposes the idea that autistic individuals are problems to be solved, that it opposes it, okay? This is why that's the puzzle piece logo for branding autism is opposed by the autism community at large. I found this really fascinating research from 2018 by Gernsbacher et al. Okay. And they found that the puzzle piece imagery evoked negative associations in the general public. So here's what they did. They took participants in this study and they found they would show them pictures of puzzle piece logos. And it didn't matter if they were puzzle piece logos associated with autism or if they were just generic puzzle piece logos. But here's what they found. Participants in this study explicitly associated puzzle pieces with, are you ready for this? Incompleteness, imperfection, and oddity.
Wow.
So when you start thinking about what kind of logo do you want to use to brand something, do you really want to choose something that makes the general public think of incompleteness, imperfection, and oddity? Okay, so autistic children, autistic individuals, are not puzzles to be solved. There is no missing piece, and the autistic child is not an incomplete person.
Yeah, and those, the puzzle piece, why they would feel that way, that makes perfect sense.
Yeah.
Because when you look at one piece, you know that there it goes into
something else, right?
A 500 piece, a 1,000 piece puzzle, whatever.
So if there's a missing
that's why
piece,
the incompleteness
is there, right?
Is there.
And so under autism awareness, it was this idea that this child is incomplete, that there, you know, that there's a missing piece, that we need to provide the right interventions, the right therapies in order to quote unquote fix
them. So somehow we could.
So yeah, we can
externally.
Yeah. Fix them and make them whole and complete. Okay. So that's why, as a neurodiversity affirming provider, what I always discuss in my professional development trainings is there is no autism treatment. We don't do autism therapy. What we do is we provide supports and services to identify accommodations and modifications to be able to support this autistic child. So it's about, I don't know, there's this saying, when a flower doesn't bloom, you fix the environment in which it grows, not the flower.
Right.
Same thing. When a child doesn't thrive, you fix the environment in which they learn, not the child. You see, under the this idea that autistic children have deficits and that they need to be fixed or cured, it's this idea that we're fixing the child, fixing the flower. When we look at autism acceptance, we say, oh, no, we're not fixing the child. The child's not broken. The child's not defective.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. The child is struggling with certain areas of development. And so we are going to provide supports and services to be able to help them thrive. Okay. But it's not about fixing or doing, you know, providing some kind of a treatment. So autism acceptance forces each one of us to address our implicit bias. Now let's be clear what implicit means. Implicit is the opposite of explicit. Okay.
Right.
Implicit means you didn't know that bias was there. It means it's just how you've been raised. You know, it's just part of your upbringing. It's just how you thought things were. But explicit bias means you know and you choose to be biased anyways. Okay. So for most of us, the way we feel about autism, it is because of an implicit bias. And when we start addressing our own implicit bias, you better believe it's going to make us feel a little uncomfortable.
Sure.
Okay. When I first started listening to autistic voices during the pandemic is when I had time and I started following autistic adolescents and adults on social media, started listening to the true autism experts, and I realized, crap, I've been misled. You know, I haven't been listening to the community whom I aim to serve. I've been listening to self-proclaimed autism experts in academia who have said, we need to fix this, right? We need to use a certain approach.
Well, and wouldn't most of those people be under the medical model?
Model of disability, so, right? That there's this is a problem to
be fixed. So that makes sense. That's their wheelhouse. That's what they're going to get
to. That's what they know, right? So all the things that most of us have thought and felt and been told about autism over the years, what you need to understand is, especially if you're a professional, all of those things that we've been taught about, they are outdated. Everything you thought you knew about autism, everything you've been taught about autism, all that information is outdated and it is ableist, okay? And so autism acceptance requires us to reflect on our personal implicit biases, change how we view autism, change how we talk about autism, and change how we support autistic individuals. Autism acceptance says, hey, you're autistic and you're wired differently. You have a different operating system and that's okay. I don't need to fix you or change you. I want to seek to understand what you need to learn, grow, and thrive as your authentic self.
Awesome.
I want to read this quote from Dr. Barry Prezant's book. If you have never read the book Uniquely Human, please make sure you read it. Make sure you read the updated and expanded edition from 2022. It has a red flat like label at the top, so it says expanded and updated edition because Dr. Prezant in 2022 went back and edited the book to use neurodiversity affirming language.
That's awesome.
But I want to read to you from page 4. And this paragraph hit me in the gut the first time I read it, because as a parent of an autistic child, it was the first time I had ever felt like a professional didn't think there was something wrong with Aaron. Okay, so let me read this to you. Autism isn't an illness. It's a different way of being human. Autistic children and adults aren't sick. They are progressing through developmental stages as we all do. To help them, we don't need to change them or fix them. What's most vital for parents, professionals, and society as a whole is to work to understand them and then change what we do.
Right.
Is that not just a beautiful sentiment from Dr. Barry Prezant? So that's really what autism acceptance is all about. So I just did a little bullet point here list. Autism acceptance is about listening to and amplifying autistic voices.
Okay.
Because they have the lived experience.
Yep.
Autism acceptance is about tolerance.
Okay. Yeah.
Tolerance of people who are wired differently, people who communicate differently, right? There's so much, I mean, just differences. Can we just be more tolerant, and can we celebrate brain differences? Can we celebrate the differences in human beings instead of saying it's better if we're all exactly the same and then making fun of people who are different? No. What we want to do, and this is what the neurodiversity movement is really teaching us to embrace, is we need to rejoice and celebrate the differences in human beings. Because that's diversity is what makes us stronger. Diversity is what makes us thrive. It is not the things that make us the same. It is the differences, right?
Well, and I think tolerance is born out of love.
Ooh, I like that. Yes.
Because if you don't have that loving heart driving you... Right. You're going to be intolerant of basically everything.
Everything that's different from your perception of the world, right? Autism acceptance is about inclusion and belonging. I really feel very strongly that we have tried very hard for inclusion. I see it in our schools. Oh, this child is autistic. They're in a self-contained autism classroom. And 40 minutes every day, this child has to go into the gen ed classroom. See, that's inclusion. But I'm going to argue that while you may... view that as inclusion, my concern is that it doesn't mean like the autistic child feels like they belong. I would argue that inclusion is kind of worthless if there isn't a feeling of belonging. So inclusion is what neurotypical people do, but belonging is how neurodivergent kids feel. And I just want to make sure that kids with disabilities actually feel like they have that they truly belong, that this isn't just something like, oh, we're just like, fine, you can come in for 40 minutes, but nobody really talks to you. And, you know, you're just here with your paraprofessional and, you know, so I really think we have a lot of work to do with creating an environment where autistic children feel like they belong, where they feel welcome, where they feel like this is their classroom, their church, their school, you know, their neighborhood, not just something where people are like, okay, whatever, you can hang out with us for a little bit. Okay. So autism acceptance is about ongoing and constant learning by us, neurotypical people.
Right.
Right. We can't ever say, well, I took one course on neurodiversity, so I'm good now. yeah. You know, you and I have talked about this, that we feel like we can refer to ourselves now as neurodiversity affirming parents.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's taken us years.
Not saying I'm perfect.
No, but we're changing. We've changed our language. Yes. We're changing, you know, we're learning about what autism is and what it is not. And mm-hmm. so we're continuing to grow, and sure. growth is everything. Autism acceptance is about self-examination. Really thinking about how we view autism. It's acknowledging ableism. It's acknowledging that we are biased, but that it is implicit bias. And as we work on that, right, we mm-hmm. are going to say, oh, I'm not going to ever assume that my way of being human is superior to Aaron's way of being human. Okay, I'm not right. going to do it anymore. We're going to honor the autistic individual and their way of being human. And so under that I have, we're going to honor all forms of communication. We're going to honor all forms of play. We're going to honor their sensory needs, honor their stims, honor their deep interests.
Yep.
Okay, and we could talk for days upon yep. days about, you and I had a conversation this morning.
Yeah, well, know? I mean, Aaron, we had people over, it was Easter,
mm-hmm.
and Aaron immediately went into his room.
Oh, yeah.
Because that's what he does when he's been around, you know, in an environment that is challenging for him.
Which is an environment with lots of people. We were right. at church, there was a ton of people there.
And so he was in there, he was stimming, he was scripting, he was doing the things that he does that help him regulate.
Right.
And so
he was recharging his social battery.
One of the other children that was there was asking about him, and he wanted to
go in his room.
He wanted to go play uh-huh. with him. And I was like, well, just give him a few minutes.
And you actually said, give him some time to recharge.
Yeah.
And that really helped, because that little boy was like, okay. And he turned around and he didn't, you know, make right. too much of a big deal about it. But I think we need to, that's how we advocate and say, he just needs time to recharge.
Right. This is what he does.
Yep.
To regulate himself.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Autism acceptance is about not expecting autistic individuals to mask their autistic traits.
Right, right.
Right. For a long time, we did. We wanted Aaron to not do certain things,
sure.
you know, because we were told, oh, he shouldn't do that, or he needs to act a certain way. Mm-hmm. We now embrace his way of being human.
100%.
And I have no problem explaining to other people, you know, if I need to, what is going on, so mm-hmm. that they don't roll their eyes or, you know, give some sort of disapproval. Autism acceptance is about recognizing that stress responses will lead to dysregulation. So you need to know the child's triggers. You need to right. know what it is that causes them to have a stress response, and then work to create an environment that is less stressful. No nervous system thrives under stress, okay? Yep. And you may say, this is really common for people to say, it's not that loud, or it's not that sticky, or it's not right. that, you know what I mean, whatever.
Right.
No, that's your perception, but you're not autistic and you're not wired. You don't have the hyperconnectivity that right. autistic brains do.
Right.
So you don't get to say, it's not that bad, it's not that hard, it's not that loud, okay?
Yeah.
No, that's not your job. Your job is to seek to understand and say, oh, is it too loud? Do
right.
you want your noise-reducing yeah. headphones? Oh, is it too
That's
sticky?
Being an ally.
Yeah, that is being an ally. Do you? That's acceptance.
Right.
See, autism awareness is saying, oh, yeah, autistic kids, they struggle with this stuff, so you need to desensitize them. And mm-hmm. no. It's not a, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Well,
and then
going back to the previous thing where you're uh-huh. talking about the eye rolls.
Uh-huh.
I'm 50 now. I've reached that age where I could give a bleep. About you and your eye rolls.
Yeah.
Lady, or dude, I don't care.
Right.
And I'm not.
Well, what we will do is we will advocate for our son
right.
at all costs.
Yep.
I will not tolerate people thinking that he's less than, right? And that is where we have really, we've changed as parents, you know?
Yeah.
We really have, because there are certain things that mm-hmm. he does that I think we used to try to hide from people or
sure.
try to have him mask. And now we're like,
Yeah.
You know what?
Nope.
Love him how he is. Yep. Okay. I know I say this all the time, but Aaron is not an optional member of society. Aaron is not an optional member of our family. He's not an optional member of his school. When he gets a job one day, he won't be an optional member of that employment, you know, place. So, you don't get to choose, you know, who belongs and who doesn't.
It's so funny though, because, you know, I think that, a lot of people, like, it's so funny when we go to restaurants, the wait staff loves him.
I know, they always
all the time. I mean, and he's, you know, and he's very animated about what he wants, and but they just, I mean,
they kind of crack up.
They love him, you know, and it's just like, see, if you actually give him a chance, I mean, you're gonna uncover something that's wonderful.
Pretty special,
You know,
what is it? Aaron's kind of like finding a pearl. You know, I mean, because that you don't.
And
I
he's
don't
know. So kind.
He is. He's so kind. He is. One more thing. Autism acceptance is about fully understanding that autism is a brain difference. It is not a behavior disorder. And if there's one thing I would like you to take from this, it is that autistic kids aren't bad. They're not naughty. That they process sensory input differently. And that they oftentimes struggle with a lot of the neurotypical social norms. And so there is part of the autistic neurotype is something called demand avoidance. And we could do a whole episode on that as well. It's really important that everybody just does more than, you know, be aware of autism. But I want you to really fully embrace autism acceptance and just start to really think about accepting this autistic individual for who they are. People sometimes ask me as a professional speaker, if you could give parents of a newly diagnosed autistic child one piece of advice, what would it be? Mm-hmm. And I always say the same thing. Love and accept the child right in front of you instead of waiting for the child that society says you should have to show up.
Right.
Love and accept the child right in front of you.
That's awesome.
That's
it.
That's it right there. And I wish somebody would have told me that, because what all the professionals told us was, ooh, we got to get in and do some immediate intervention.
Yeah, we need 40 hours.
He's non-compliant. We need to
behavior stuff.
Yeah, we need to establish compliance because he's non-compliant. He refuses. He won't. He won't participate.
Yeah.
I never heard anybody say, love and accept the child right in front of you. You know, really embrace his deep interests, right? Follow his lead during play instead of trying to make him play the right way with toys, right? So just know that on April 2nd and every day, what we want to do is promote autism acceptance. We have come too far to go back to autism awareness.
Right.
Okay. So I hope that was a helpful conversation.
That's great.
It's really something I am going to talk more about now. Like I said, I did a lot of, you know, digging, you know, what do autistic voices have to say about this? And it's pretty important stuff. So we're going to go ahead and wrap up this episode. Thanks to listening to the SLP Talk Show. If you're enjoying the podcast, please tell your friends, your neighbors, your colleagues to give us a listen. Now get out there and be kind, be accepting, put your screens down for a bit and go outside. It is a beautiful world. And please don't forget to schedule your mammogram. Early detection could save your life. As of tomorrow, April 2nd, 2024, I will be a 12-year breast cancer survivor. So just know, early detection absolutely saved my life. Until next time. Cheers.